Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Celebrating 10 years of award-winning car talk, it's the In Wheel Time car show. Today coming to you live from the 61st Annual O'Reilly Autorama at the George R. Brown Convention Center in downtown Houston, Texas, baby. Coming up.
Baby.
We got this week's events calendar.
Free Britney.
Conrad has This Week in Auto History. And we'll get you updated on the stories making car news this week. Howdy. Along with Mike out of this world Mars, who's gallivanting around somewhere doing something. King Conrad DeLong is sitting next to me today. Jeff Zekin was here. And back here is David Ainsley, our chief engineer. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us today. In our remote studio is the fabulous Lonnie Ford with Lone Star Throwdown.
Fabulous.
But this is not really about the Lone Star Throwdown. And I wanted to start off by saying that you're part of the gang, the Steve Green gang.
Yep.
The Green gang. I like that. I just made that up.
The gang green.
Kind of.
No, that's an infection.
Yeah, you have to get it cut off.
And the fact that, you know, when we all show up here on Tuesdays, it's Lonnie and Todd, Steve Green, and all of the guys that we all know. And I was sitting back there, as you know, on Tuesday during move-in, and all the and I keep going, wait, I know all these people. I don't necessarily know them by name, but I've been around them for years, and they know me. And hey, man, how's it going? Good to see you. Hadn't seen them in a couple of years now since the last show here.
Well, you guys bring experience of getting the show set up.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and bring the people to help do that because, you know, coming in, I wasn't here coming in, but you got to kind of marshal people in.
But you know what? It's happened so often that in so many years consecutively that everybody knows the routine.
Mm-hmm.
How to get in, what you've got to go through to get in. You got to go through the fire marshal first.
Yep. The majority of people already know what to do.
Right.
So it definitely makes it easier for us to get people in here and to get people out.
And, you know, one of the things that I noticed for the first time, and I know it's been going on for years, you got the guys in the golf carts. And, hey, man, you know, for those that don't really know, then the golf cart will lead you in your car to your spot. And so, but I mean, it's the little things like that that make this so smooth getting in here. Because, dude, if it wasn't without you guys, it would be an absolute mess.
Yeah, it definitely takes a team, and there's a good team here. So
in other words, I might have something to do when they don't want me to be in television anymore.
Yeah, we could put you to work
driving a golf cart,
and I'd be good at that.
Are you good with numbers?
No.
Ooh.
What kind of numbers?
He's like on number three.
One, two, three, four?
What kind of numbers?
We'll find something for you.
I'm sure you will. If nothing else, I could be the welcome wagon at the front door.
The welcome mat? People can kind of rub their feet on you?
Fall off the wagon and be staring at the lights.
Can you be a greeter?
I could be a greeter just like at Walmart.
Yep.
Trying out for that right now.
There you go.
He's old enough for it.
It's his second job. Ooh. Hi, welcome to Walmart. Hi, welcome to Autorama. Glad you could be here. First thing is we need to let the fire marshals make sure you have no gas in your vehicle.
Pretty much.
And you understand that when you do get your vehicle to your space, you need to disconnect the battery and you have
tape
to disconnect
the gas door.
And tape it or have a locking gas cap.
Yep.
And get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
This one here is unusual in the fact that it doesn't have a gas gauge. So the fire marshal says, okay, well, let's take a look and see what you got in the gas tank. You unscrew the lid to the fuel cell back there, and you just look down in there and see that it's just barely enough to get the thing started and move it in here.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they want. Yep. But I always find it odd that
they want the positive cable of the battery disconnected.
I
live in the automotive world, and you always disconnect the negative. Doesn't matter. The end result's the same, but I always thought that was odd. And it doesn't matter if it's here or if it's at the new car show for the Houston Auto Show. They still want the positive cable. And they used to give you these little real small little what look like Crown Royal bags that you would have to put over the cable to put on. I don't think they do that anymore.
What'd they do with the Crown Royal?
They don't do that here.
Yeah.
I put tape on it.
Do you like Crown Royal?
I used to.
We know a guy.
Y'all know a guy?
We know a guy.
He does. I don't know that guy.
We don't drink.
So once you get...
I wish we had a camera on you.
I don't know where this is going.
I don't either.
Neither do we.
And with Don saying it, it can go... Crazy. Different
off
way.
The rails.
Oh, it can go off the rails.
Chances are pretty good it will go off the rails.
So how many of your compatriots from Lone Star Throwdown, do you guys have a space here? How many vehicles do you have in your space?
We have 50.
50?
Yep.
Yeah, 50.
That's
so you are most likely the largest club, so to speak, group display here.
Organization, yeah.
Yeah.
And he says this so nonchalantly. Have you ever tried to wrangle 50 cars and
just
their drivers?
50 of us here.
Well, look what he does.
I had to narrow it down.
Lone Star. How many does he wrangle there?
I had to narrow it down to 50 from the 2,000 that show
up
at the time.
You and I both know that's different. The Lone Star Throwdown's a different deal as opposed to having 50 cars, show vehicles here. And I assume that they're in competition either with each other or the other cars in here or something.
Yeah, it's still you're still in the Autorama group. So it's not just our group. We don't judge it. We don't.
Right.
It's still you're still entered in Autorama.
Right. And if you have a car entered in here, you're pretty much on your own. You may be showing it as a club, but each car has its own entry plaque on it.
Yeah, the judges classify each other and put them in groups and. There's quite a bit of classes.
Yeah.
And quite a bit of competition, as you can see.
Yes. Yeah. Did you bring an entry in here?
I brought my F-100 and my Ford Expedition.
You had just recently purchased that or shown it at, the last organization we went to, your club, when we went out to see you at Lone Star.
I had it there.
Okay, but you just bought it then.
No. That's the other one. I have quite a few F-100s.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of that one.
Yeah, this is my original F-100.
Well, wait a minute. You have quite a few?
Well, maybe.
Well, what do you got?
65, 275s, a 76, and then the 2000 Expedition.
Well, hell, the 50 cars are his that he brought.
No, just five of them.
He just moved the garage down here. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know.
No, I got a couple of Super Duties, but those are just workhorses.
They use those to haul the other ones around.
Yeah, the trailers. And an Excursion. I drive the Excursion every day.
Diesel Excursion?
Yep.
7.3, 6.0?
6.0.
Is it?
Yep. 400,000 miles on it.
Wow. Cool.
Well, continue on.
And a 6.0, not a sicko, so you've made...
No,
some changes to it.
Yeah, when I bought it, I knew I had to do stuff.
Right.
So Dorian at PSC, he went through it, did the head studs and bulletproofed it.
Made it safe to drive.
He did that at 119,000, and I got 380 something now, fixing to hit 400,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's the trick in saving that for all these many miles? Changing the oil and
Changing the oil. I put changing the fuel filters is a big thing on them.
And the head studs, but
the head studs was I did it before I had problems,
right.
So I think that's a big deal. I do have two other ones that are 6.0s. Now they're not done, and they have my wife's truck's 150,000, and the other one's a little over 100,000.
And then the other thing about the 6.0s is you have to make sure that you manage the EGR system correctly because they had a tendency to clog with carbon. But 6.0 makes a lot of power.
Yeah, I love
very
mine.
Good, very, very good engine.
I have a
done right, very good engine.
I have a new 6.7, a 2018. dually, and it's from a 6.0 going to a 6.7 is a big difference. I mean, the
really?
New. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, your 6.7 is pushing 1,000 foot-pounds of torque, isn't it?
Yep.
Just right at that. I think it's.
Yep.
So it's more upper
nines. It is night and day difference.
So it isn't the 0.7 liters necessarily. It's the new technology.
I think it's technology because it's amazing that truck that I have a lot of work done to, the Excursion performance-wise, and the factory 2018 6.7 is equivalent to that all the work.
Oh yeah.
So you're buying a factory truck that has the horsepower and the torque as the performance one that I did.
And a huge difference between the 6.0 and the 6.7 is the fuel injection system. 6.0 still has oil-fired injectors. So the fuel injection system is completely different, where the 6.7 is a high-pressure common rail system. So, you know, it's just putting out a lot of pressure and electronically fires each injector, where in your 6.0, it puts out pressure, but the injectors are fired through oil pressure.
Why did they do that?
Well, it came from the 7.3, the oil-fired injectors, and then the 6.0 was the last year for the
oil-fired injectors. I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that common?
Yeah, very common. Yeah. Very common back in the day.
Yeah, back then. And it shears oil pretty bad, so that's why you can't do the extended. I don't care if you use synthetic or whatever you're going to do.
You don't use
It's definitely takes a toll on the oil. So changing it is a big
deal. You're working the oil that much harder firing the injectors with that high pressure oil pump if you don't do something to make sure that stays.
And I have a bulletproof oil cooler on mine, so it's an external, so it has an external oil cooler on
bulletproof it. Being a brand name
not bulletproof, just bulletproof the engine yep. Coolant system's been bulletproofed.
Lots of boys in their toys.
So in other words, what you've got is you've got yourself a tank pretty much.
It's been a really good truck, but you know they don't make the Excursion anymore, and I love the size of it, and you just can't you can't buy something like that's four wheel drive diesel and that big.
No, I guess today
Excursion was a world to itself.
Yeah, you know Craig had one for decades, and I guess he finally got rid of
that's
it.
That's the one that he had lifted and everything.
Yeah. And he loved it. Matter of fact, there's a guy that I know that he had one, absolutely loved the thing, and it was getting tired. And he didn't want to spend the money to bump it up, you know, get it refreshed and do the right thing with it. So he finally got rid of it and got in, a Tahoe or Suburban or something.
A lot of Excursions go into security detail. I've actually got a friend of mine who buys up diesel Excursions wherever he can find them, bulletproofs them and sends them overseas. I mean, does a big job of bulletproofing them.
Yeah.
And they go into
literally.
Security. Yeah. Where it's, you know, the glass is inches thick. They put stuff in the door so that you can't penetrate with
what years did they make
stuff.
That Excursion?
All
Six
the way
years?
Up to 2005.
So it was 10 years.
Close.
Yeah.
It would be 2000. Or no, it would be 99 all the way up to 2005.
So 6 years.
Yeah. So they started with a 7.3.
Yep. I had a 7.3. I had a 6.0.
And ended with the 6.0. Did they ever put the 6.4 in it?
Nope.
Okay, so it ended with the 6.0.
Yeah, because mine is really hard because it's different than a 2005 truck. So you got to remember, it still has the leaf spring front end.
Okay,
on mine.
So it's previous generation.
And the dash
truck.
Is different. The front end, the headlights, the grill, the bumper is the newer, you know, like 2005 truck. But when you go buy parts for it, you have to, you know, tell them this is not a 2005 truck. It's an Excursion. So some of the parts are different. So the dash, the spring, because the new ones are the coil spring front end.
Right. Generationally, it's an older chassis.
Yep. Even the engine, if you look at the engine, it's a 2004 engine in it.
Strange.
Highly desirable vehicle, though.
Yep.
Excursions. There's a lot of people want to buy Excursions.
I never understood why did they stop making it? Did it just not sell well?
I think it killed some of their EPA on their the things that I've read.
The cafe.
Yeah, where they take the all the vehicles in their lineup.
Cafe rating.
Yep.
Yeah.
and it just killed their rating. I did have a V10 one too, which everybody hated the V10, but I mean other than mileage, I mean you got
gallons to the mile, not miles.
But
to the gallon.
I still got 12 to 14.
That's not good.
What?
That's not.
That's
good.
A big truck.
That dude, that's
still
not...
having the power. I love the power of the V10.
Well, and the other thing, Excursion was, my opinion, was generally a market to itself. Chevrolet did build a 3/4-ton Suburban, but the Excursion was, was to me a step above even the 3/4-ton Suburban.
Yeah, I think
just as far as its abilities and the lack of better phrase, the heavy dutiness.
Yeah,
of,
I think the Super Duty brand just is unbeatable. I mean, I'm a Ford guy, so I gotta say that.
No.
Well, your name's not Lonnie Chevy.
True.
But, I think that Excursion, I think that it was marketed poorly.
I don't know that it was marketed at all. Did they advertise for it?
I don't think they needed to advertise for it.
Well, what
I think I think the biggest thing was fitting them into garages.
or not.
Yeah. But, that was the big thing about it.
Well, and the fact
it's,
that
it's a big vehicle, but if you put it up against, I have two other trucks that are, F-250s and an F-350. Now the Excursion is still shorter than a crew cab short bed, so if you park them up next to each other, it still is short. It's still a big SUV, bigger than like an Expedition or something like that.
But see, it didn't fall into the heavy duty range. They don't include that in the corporate average fuel economy. It's only passenger vehicles. And so it kind of fell outside of what it should have been.
Yeah.
And if it had been marketed as a heavy duty, then because they don't even put the mileage on heavy duty anything.
Right.
And so that kind of falls outside of the category. The problem is that they put it into a regular everyday, and it shouldn't have been a regular everyday.
Yeah. I love mine.
Oh, yeah.
I know you do. And apparently a lot of other people do.
Yep.
Freaks. But I love you. There is that. So you're going to be here all weekend. What are you doing here? For the club or the
– No, we're for the club, and we do garage gear clothing.
Yeah.
We sell T-shirt and apparel, hats.
Merch.
Yep.
GarageGear.com. Hey, you know what? Would you like to sell the In-Wheel Time merch?
Not unless he makes money on it.
He just looked at me with his blank
stare. I know.
He sells garage gear.
He got three heads.
He's been branding garage gear for a number of years.
I know, but
they drive all around the country to sell garage gear, and now you want to confuse people with In-Wheel Time?
No, it wouldn't.
Well, we're confused.
When you go to the drag
races. Dazed and confused.
When you go to the drag races, they have merchandise trailers. They carry different drivers in one trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. So if they can do that and be successful at it, I'm thinking, we could probably sell a few shirts and a few
mugs. Why don't you have shirts out here? Why aren't you selling them?
We just thought of it.
Just thought of it. We're kind of taking a survey,
Yeah.
So this is where it was born.
Yeah.
So,
right here, talking to you.
There we go.
It was actually born down there on the floor.
Looking up at the ceiling, counting the lights.
That's a story that I'll have to tell you another time.
With your red pumps.
No,
didn't include the red pumps this time. So
we'll tell you off the air.
Look at that!
Oh my God,
that's a four-wheeler,
sir? You
I'm
win
next.
The cuteness award here. This is the absolute
not you.
Cuteness.
Not
oh,
you.
Look, it's a push.
Them.
It's
no,
a push
you.
And pull.
Not you. Them.
It's a push and pull. I love that. So, hi. Absolute. Yeah, cuteness award goes to you guys. Thank you.
But what do they win?
The award.
Okay.
Just the award.
It's a verbal award.
Where is the
We don't
award?
Have any merch.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can't.
So you don't have
that.
Merch.
Hey,
you don't
can
have
go down
an
to
award.
Garage Gear and pick out a free T-shirt.
There you go. For everybody. Right. All four of you.
You hang around here long enough and you're going to go, oh, dear
Why
God,
do I get... even talk to these guys?
I know Mike's going to text me again and I'm going to say no.
Never again.
No.
Well,
I stood in line. I stood in line at the Lone Star for my free T-shirt and never got one. So.
See?
Well, we love you.
We do.
And
we appreciate you actually stopping by.
Definitely.
And
it's always a good time.
And taking this abuse.
February 24th, or excuse me, 25th through the 27th of 2022, Lone Star Throwdown.
Is it sold out yet?
Oh, sold out.
Sold out. The week after they opened it.
We got 2,000 registered show vehicles. We have 500 vehicles through vendors, so a total of 2,500 vehicles, 147 vendors.
How do you get into this thing? Because it's always sold out. I mean, do you have a if somebody drops out, I'll get in? I mean, do you have a wait list to get in?
Well, we have August 1st. We always go live with the registration. So this year it took a little over 9 weeks. That sold out. And then January to February we have transfers. So at that point, the transfers, if someone can't go, they can transfer it to someone else. And that will go through all our website and everything else. So – I mean, generally, it sells out every year.
Is this not a full-time gig for you?
It definitely turned out that way. You know, it wasn't. It was just a thing that
– Between that and the clothes.
Well, yeah. Well, Todd and I both have jobs. People think we just do this. But
well,
we
that's
just,
what I think.
No. He does mobile refrigeration, and I do filters. So we definitely don't do cars full-time. But this has taken on a full-time – gig, you know, beyond Todd and I. So our wives, we have a good friend, Jared.
And Jared's a marine engineer.
Yep, he's an engineer. He used to work on military ships, and now
he does boats.
Yep, big ships.
Big ship. I'm sorry. Yep. Big ships.
Vessels.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got him in to just kind of help us with the vendor side of it, and it's turned. I mean, this show is. I mean, y'all have been there.
It's massive.
It's definitely a
Lone
big...
Star Expo in Conroe out there by the airport.
Yep.
The 25th Lonnie, through the 27th of
definitely.
February.
Thanks for having me, and we will see y'all in a couple of months. And
well, I'm coming down to get my free T-shirt.
And Don...
Staying in line. Hey, if just wave at me. Get me. I'll put you at the head of the line.
Great.
But you have to wear Don's pumps.
Oh, no.
No? Okay.
I'm out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
GarageGear.com, right?
Yeah. Time now for This Week in Auto History. So we're going to make him actually work for his keep here. So do you have that handy?
Yes, I do. Jeffrey got us queued up?
Sort of.
Okay. So you have – thanks. So you have to remember the auto industry really jumped into World War II production – building lots and lots of stuff for the war effort. And Ford built the B-24 Liberator bombers. They rolled off the assembly line at Ford's massive Willow Run assembly plant in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Okay. 2 years before Franklin Roosevelt urged Henry Ford to build these and they started getting prepared for production and shut down all automotive production and built these the B-24 Liberators. They built like 6,000 of them for basically the European theater.
And they were made of wood, weren't they?
Oh, no. Not this one. These are all metal.
No,
but this is the four-engine plane.
Okay.
And then in 1949... the Cadillac Coupe de Ville rolled off the assembly line,
buddy,
marking the 1 millionth Cadillac to be manufactured since the company's inception in 1902.
We're just going to leave this picture up there.
Boy, that car crossed like four zip codes at the same time. it was a huge vehicle. And then in 1954, Chevrolet manager Thomas Keating drove a gold-plated 1955 Bel Air Sport Coupe off the Flint, Michigan assembly line, marking the 50 millionth GM vehicle produced. And that, I believe, is still in GM's ownership.
That's not a 54.
55, I said. Did I say 54? No, in 54 is when it was built, but it was a 55
Make it so
Bel Air.
Confusing.
Yep. And then in 1970, Ford rolled out its one-year-only Boss 351 Mustang for the 1971 model year at the Detroit Auto Show. The vehicle featured a 351 cubic inch Cleveland engine pushing 330 horsepower.
Would that be called the Cleveland Steamer?
The Cleveland Steamer. And With a single four-barrel, allowing the Mustang to go from 0 to 60 in 5.8 seconds. Only 1,806 of these Boss 351 Mustangs were built for 1971. Quite a unique car. You see them every now and then. I didn't realize they'd only built 1,800 of
them. And there's
one
up on the top. There's one up on that rack behind it, if you can see that.
Yep. And then in 1973, in response to the 1973 oil crisis, President Richard Mulhouse Nixon called for a ban sale of gasoline on Sundays to consumers. The proposal was part of a larger announcement by Nixon earlier in the month to achieve energy self-sufficiency in the United States by 1980.
What a turd.
And actually, energy self-sufficiency didn't happen until 2018 under the Trump administration when we finally did reach energy efficiency.
There you go.
The 1973 oil crisis began in mid-October when OPEC raised prices and cut production in response to the United States and other nations in the Yom Kippur War. Almost overnight, gasoline prices quadrupled, and the U.S. economy, especially automakers, suffered greatly as a result. The Sunday gasoline ban stayed in effect until March of the next year. Another one of the government regulations that they imposed at the same time was the national 55-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what a mess that was.
Oh, my God. What a...
Thank
Talk goodness. About somebody smoking something that nobody wanted.
And then in 1996, Volkswagen executive Jose Ignacio Lopez resigned.
Wait a minute. A Volkswagen from Germany.
Jose Ignacio Lopez resigned under charges of industrial espionage because he formerly ran GM Parts Division. And
Juanito Calagatada.
And they said that he'd stole proprietary information and the firmer
Riva.
And they were under.
You want me to read that for you?
No. And, well, you guys keep on talking.
I just keep reading. We're just going to throw things out.
There was nothing after Nixon.
And in 1993, when he defected from Volkswagen along with three other GM managers, GM settled with Volkswagen for $100 million and a guarantee for Volkswagen to buy $1 million in GM parts. In 2005, General Motors announced closure of 12 facilities, laying off 30,000 workers in North America. And that is this week in automotive history.
God, that lasted a while.
Oh, it's a John Deere tricycle.
Very
nice.
Awesome. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email. The address is info@inwheeltime.com. Time now for a quick break. We'll be right back. You are on the In Wheel Time Car Show.
Hey, Houston, it's back. America's greatest hot rod tradition is on Thanksgiving weekend. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama at the George R. Brown Convention Center. 4 days of hot rods, customs, classics, trucks, and performance cars featuring the ultimate lowrider showcase. Sponsored by Shorty's Hydrodge. Saturday only, it's the Tuner Galleria with 250 imports, JDM, and luxury cars. Plus music and models. Autorama. It's so much more than a car show. On the celebrity stage, presented by Nick's Auto Repair and Classic Car Restoration, it's Chip Foose from TV's Overhauling on Friday and wrestling superstar Sting on Sunday. Shop the swap meet and women's world all weekend. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama. This weekend at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Discount tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Part of the Summer Racing Equipment Show Car Series. See Autorama.com.
It's a very special Christmas Tailpipes and Tacos Car Cruise-In. Saturday, December 18th at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy. Bring a toy for Star of Hope and have breakfast on us. Tailpipes and Tacos will award trophies for Best Hot Rod, Best Classic, and Best Modern Classic. It's the Great Christmas Cruise-In on Saturday, December 18th, so make plans now. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest cruise-in, and this one brings it all together for Star of Hope in a Toys for Breakfast Christmas special. Bring a toy and get a free Loopy Tortilla breakfast, plus trophies for Best Hot Rod, Best Classic, and Best Modern Classic. It all happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. Get your ride ready for a very special Christmas cruise-in Loopy style. It's Tailpipes and Tacos, Saturday, December 18th, 8 to 11 a.m. The In Wheel Time Car Show will be there, too. Let's celebrate the Christmas season together at the next Tailpipes and Tacos Toys for a free Loopy breakfast, Saturday, December 18th, 8 to 11 a.m. We'll see you then, weather permitting.
That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.